To come together in fellowship on the Woman to Woman, Woman to Man show. And Lord, we just ask that you have your way. Let your will be done. Bless our guests on today. God bless Pastor Linda Hillman. Oh, God bless all of the callers. Oh, God, everybody that will come to be a part of this broadcast on today, Lord. We ask that you let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, oh, God. Lord, we ask that you save souls, change lives, set the captives free, fill us with power, and set us on purpose, oh, God. We ask, Father God, that not one word that is spoken on today will fall to the ground. Bless the men, bless the women, bless the little boys and girls that may even be privy to this conversation. God, we love you on today, and we just thank you that we are yet rejoicing in this day, that this is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it, oh God. We thank you for your word that has spoken over our lives, oh God, and not one where, Father God, will fail to manifest in this lifetime. So, Lord, we praise you and we thank you and we worship your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God, I pray that you're smiling out there because you do. You look so much better when you smile. Amen. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Rebecca, and I welcome you to the Woman to Woman, Woman to Man show. It's a blessing and an honor to be with you on today. God is good. God is good and worthy to be praised. The Lord is good and worthy to be praised. And I'm just in the mood to praise him today. I tell you, God is just so awesome, and I love him. I love him so much. If you love him, just say hallelujah. I love him so much. I'm excited today. I am excited. I have a very special guest on today. Linda Hillman is my guest today. She is an author. She is a speaker. She's an empowerment coach. She's a trainer. She's an evangelist. She's a pastor. God is using her in just so many different arenas of life, and it's my honor to have her on today as my special guest. I just want to read a part of her bio. For those of you who do not know her, I tell you, it's just a privilege to meet women and men of God who are on the road to destiny, who are setting the path of life on fire, just doing God's will and changing lives as they go. It's just a privilege to meet this woman of God. Let me read some of her bio about Linda Hillman. Linda Hillman is a master at live events because her productions have transformed the lives of thousands. She has branched out to give teleseminars and webinars as well as one-on-one private coaching. A highly sought-after author, motivational speaker, and coach, she still knows how to stay true to her mission and purpose. There is no greater joy than when she sees the eyes of her audience light up with the hope of the now, as well as what can be accomplished in the future. Linda states that there is no feeling like seeing that light bulb come on when someone sees they can do it. Being immersed in personal transformation, conscious business, and live trainings for 10 years, Linda is no stranger to life's hurt, habits, and hang-ups. Her sheer determination to share her obstacles and challenges with others have proven to be her greatest quality. You can always hear her say, "Can I just be real?" There's definitely no pretense in her approach. Once struggling with her own destiny and success, homeless, moving from house to house, including staying in motels and with friends, has applied the principles she now shares to help restore and jumpstart her own life. Well on her way to walking successful in her purpose, she is gifted to enlighten, educate, motivate, and energize her audiences. She travels across the country with her message of success, triumph, and hope. She truly embodies the old saying, "You ain't seen nothing yet." Linda, a regular contributor to Examiner.com, is a compelling and highly sought-after coach, author, and speaker. She has been a contributor to the Talitha Kume book series and Parent Teen Stories. She is currently writing and has written, and she is currently writing her first book. Okay, that stumped me a little. We'll talk about that. She is currently writing her first book entitled "Will You Be Made Whole?" about inner healing and restoration. And I'm sure that book must have been written already, because now we are getting ready to talk about another book in the meantime, "When Waiting is Key." Although she is new to the writing arena, she is definitely eager to leave her mark on the literary world. Well on her way, Linda believes that a story is best shared with others, and nothing is more reaching, more far-reaching than real-life experiences. So we're going to meet this woman of God. I just want to read a little bit more of her bio, and then I'm going to bring her on. Today, Linda is a recognized global authority for teaching individuals how to create a powerful presence that's on purpose, in service, and highly profitable. Her live events are widely considered to be an experience for brilliant, good-hearted, visionary minds to come together to discover new strategies for making a bigger difference in the world through the vehicles of self-awareness and empowerment. For her powerful contributions, Linda is well on her way to leave a legacy of greatness and inspiration. She is the founder of 2BU Empowerment Group, and she has removed all boundaries and opened a new world to empowering people to be exactly who they truly are. Her direct yet caring, her direct yet caring approach gets to the heart of the matter, taking the guesswork out of the equation, and results come easily and quickly. This woman of God is passionate about helping individuals with a great message and a big heart to create new levels of freedom, wealth, and joy. She only believes this is possible when you are centered in yourself and connected to the spirit of life around you. She is also anointed and appointed to prophesy, preach, and teach the good news of Jesus Christ. She does this successfully through her ministry work in Whole and Living Above Hurt Ministries. While both of these ministries came about through a realistic look at how life can devastate the psyche of a person, counseling people who were dealing with real issues, feeling like all hope was gone, Linda set out to change how people dealt with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. My. There are recovery houses for physical, mental, and spiritual healing, but no one resource was doing it all. Linda wanted to create a process that a person could obtain the healing they needed in every area of their lives and not have a specific time frame set for completion. Linda understands that some healing can take years. She wanted a person to feel that the help they needed is always available to them and that they are never alone in their process. So this woman of God has just so many things that God is doing through her. She is basically ministering to Christians. She's ministering to those who are not in the church. She's ministering to young people. She's ministering to old people. She's ministering to women. She's ministering to men. She is ministering. Her bio is just so extensive. I'm going to stop right there because I want to bring this woman of God on the air. I want to talk to her and just have her share with us from her own mouth some of the other things that she is doing and everything that God has put on her heart. So without any further delay, I want to welcome our guest, evangelist, author, pastor, Linda A. Hillman, to the Women to Women, Women to Man show. Bless you, women of God, and welcome to the Women to Women, Women to Man show today. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Pastor Rebecca. I am honored to be here, and I just want God to do what he's going to do. I believe he has, even in this interview, in the process of our discussion, he has something that he wants to say to those that are listening. And so I am just so honored to be a willing vessel, open and obedient to him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And we just welcome you on today. I'm just so glad that you are here, and I welcome you. And we finally get a chance to hear each other's voices. We've been networking on Facebook and other arenas for a while. So this is just a privilege to be able to come. And I welcome you. I also welcome all of the guests in the chat room. I see the guests in the chat room, guests 15, 17, and Evangelist Johanna Wheeler. We welcome you to the broadcast on today. I welcome everybody on the phone lines. I don't recognize all of your numbers, but I see you there, and I welcome you all. And I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast on today, because God has something very special on today with our guest, Pastor Linda Hillman. And I just thank God for you again and welcome you. And I want to just agree with you that God had to gather some people here today for this time, for this moment, that are going to be encouraged and empowered in their own personal walks. So
yeah.
I'm excited.
Amen, amen. And I know when you were reading my bio, you read about me currently writing a book, Will You Be Made Whole? And I am still currently writing that book. It seems like every time I think that it is done, God says, nope, there's still some more to it. So I'm hoping that it will be out at the end of this year. But if God says the same, but it hasn't been released yet. It's been a book in about 4 years in the making. So God is really, it seems like he takes me through something and he goes, now write that, because they need to understand what being whole is. And so I'm excited about the book, but, you know, hopefully God will allow me to get it out this year.
Amen, amen, because I got a little stumped when I was reading and it said your first book. And I was like, wait a minute, I just read her first book and it's a powerful book, the book. It's a powerful book. In the meantime, when waiting is key, you know, and I want to talk about that, because when you first told me about the book, I actually thought it was about relationships. You know, I thought it was about relationships, and I said, well, okay, wow, this is a book that it'll be good to bring to the women and the men to talk about waiting for that Boaz when waiting is key. But as I got into the book, I began to read the book, I realized that it was much more than a relationship book.
Yes, yes, yes. It actually encompasses every area of your life. And when I was writing, I was like, well, God, do you want me just to focus on, you know, what people wait for? They wait for mate, they wait for jobs, they wait for cars, they wait for God to reveal their destiny, God to reveal their ministry, God to, you know, and he was like, no, I want it to be where they can apply it for their situation. It needs to speak to their situation. So if you start talking about relationships, then those that are waiting for something else now feels like, oh, well, this isn't for me. So I had to keep it as general as possible, but yet specific as possible. So hopefully I did that.
You did. You did. And I was reading the book, and I got very absorbed in the book. I read it in one sitting, and I was like, wow, I had my pen out, and I said, this book is really good, and it's applicable and apropos for so many of us in the kingdom of God who are waiting, who are, you know, we're posing that question before God, what next? And God, you told me, so when? You know, when, and that you talked about so much in the book. Why did this book come out first? You know, is this your first book?
This is my first e-book. I've been in, like I said, some of the series, Talitha Kumai series. I was in book 4 and 5 of that. The book 4 was Talitha Kumai, Mothers and Daughters Arise. I have a chapter in that book. I also have a chapter in Talitha Kumai, or Get Up Girl, Talitha Kumai. And recently I have a chapter in The Glamorless Side of Entrepreneurship, What They Didn't Tell You About Being an Entrepreneur. So this was kind of my first solo project, if you will. And God wanted me to release it as an e-book, not so much publish it as a book. And Will You Be Made Whole will be my actual first book that I publish as a solo project. But I have another ebook called Success, Principles to Live By. And so these two, I guess in the meantime, God had these two come out of me while I was still writing Will You Be Made Whole.
Wow. See how that came in the meantime. So you were working while waiting.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, talk to us about the, and then we're just going to flow. I don't really do interviews, you know, I just really like to bring the author on, and we talk about the subject matter, we intermingle that, we talk about what you covered in the book, and you're the author, and it's in your belly, so I want you to begin to share with us about, in the meantime, you know, why this particular title, and When Waiting is Key, why this book, why this title, and why now?
It's really funny because while I was writing this book, I was going through an in-the-meantime experience, and it was hard for me. It was really hard for me. It wasn't because I didn't know what I was supposed to do. It wasn't because you know, I didn't know what God had gifted me to do. It was, God, when do I get to do it? You know, you got me here. And if you know, the book is written about Elijah and how he was called into the desert. And while he was there, he was fed by the ravens. And then God told him to go to Zarephath. And when he went to Zarephath, the widow, you know, and we always take, you know, one part of that where we'll talk about him, we'll preach on him being fed by the ravens, and we'll talk about the significance of that. We'll talk about him going to Zarephath and how God prepares the way there. But we always, and very few people will go to the end of the chapter where he brings the boy back to life. And I don't want to give away too much of the book, but, you know, it was God said, I need you to walk through that process. I need you to really understand what it was I was doing with Elijah, because you'll then understand what I do when I call you to do a thing, when I get you to do something, and how you have to wait on the timing of God. If you go before God, you're going to miss out. If you go too late, you're going to miss out. And so there has to be a divine order to everything that we do. But in the process, we need to understand what God is doing in our lives, that we're not just sitting, you know, idly by and nothing is happening, but God is putting you in the right places at the right time so you can do the miraculous, so you can do above and beyond anything that you could ever hope and dream, so you can be effective in ministry. And understand that it's not about you. It's not about the people around you, but it's about the glory of God.
Wow. Wow. Go ahead.
Wow. I'm sorry?
Go ahead. You go ahead. You're flowing. Wow. Wow.
And so with this book, what I'm finding is, you know, even because I keep going back and reading it, and, you know, I'm shocked. I was like, God, all of that was on the inside of me. And he was like, no, it was on the inside of me. And I dumped it into you. I downloaded it into you. Because one of the things that we have to look at, and I'm just going to cover the 3 points, the 3 main points of the book, is that when God calls us to do something, there's a preparation, and then there's a motivation, and then there's confirmation. That's what it's all about. And so you have to understand, during the preparing portion, that's going to be the longest period of time that you're going to have to wait. And I'm like, Elijah wasn't confused that he was called to prophet, to be a prophet, because at the beginning of the chapter of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, you see him prophesying to the king.
Yeah.
And then in James, it says that he prayed an effective prayer. And what started this book was that when God had me studying this, I was like, hold up, wait a minute, Jesus. You know, I don't want to say that you didn't tell the truth right here, but Elijah never prayed. Where did Elijah pray? You know, and he took me to the 17th chapter, and I was looking at that, and I was like, wait a minute, in this chapter, he does not pray. You know, I'm just arguing with God. He did not pray. And God said, at the beginning of the chapter, you need to read it again. And when I read that, and I started to really think about it, I was like, oh, this is a new type of prayer. This isn't the prayer that we are always, you know, dear Heavenly Father, we need you to. No, that wasn't the type of prayer that he prayed. What Elijah said was, I need to go and talk to the king, because if you read the prior chapters, the king had the kingdom all messed up. He had Israel going against their God. He had Israel whoring after other gods, and so he had to come in and say, this is wrong, this is not good. I don't need to go to God and say, God, tell me what to say to the king because of what they're doing. I already know God is not pleased with it. So anything that I proclaim in the name of God is going to happen. It was a request that God say, you know, God, you fix this by any means necessary, but I'm not going to go and do the traditional prayer where I get on my knees and pray. No, I'm going to go and decree and declare some things, and it's going to come about because it is the righteousness of God. And so when God showed me that, it just brought prayer to a whole nother level with me, because it's like, God, we don't always do this. We don't always walk into a situation where we know you're not being glorified and just proclaim some stuff. We're too afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not only get that declaration, not only did that declaration then put him in harm's way, and then not only did it put him in danger, God was like, you know what, I'm going to hide you away for a little bit because your work is not done. You haven't even begun to do what I need you to do. And so God then brings him into a desert place. And it's just remarkable how God is, because, look, God, I was doing your bidding. I was doing your work. But you told me to go to the desert. You told me to go to the cutting place.
Wow.
You told me to go to the cutting place. Now, here I am out here doing what you want me to do. Let me just break it down and stop talking about Elijah and talk a little bit about Linda. I was doing the work of the Lord. I was out there preaching the gospel, singing, writing books, coaching, doing everything that God had put in my lap to do, and my knees gave out on me. I was in pain. My back gave out on me. I was in pain. There were days, Pastor Rebecca, I could not even get out of bed. I couldn't even think correctly. And I'm like, God, in the midst of my ministry, you're going to allow my body to deteriorate like this? What's really going on? Have I made you upset? But God had to put me in that position, flat on my back, where all I could do was talk to him and speak with him and study basically this chapter. I went through this chapter, I don't know how many times, studying it, and each time something new popped out of me and something new came to life to me, and God was just dealing with me, and this book was written on my sickbed.
Wow. What? Wait. So basically, you were in the middle of your ministry, and your knees gave out, and your back gave out, and you were on your back for how long?
5 months.
For 5 months, you could not get up, you could not do ministry, you could not do anything. So you meditated on chapter 17 of 1 Kings.
Yes, ma'am. That's all I could do. Pray and ask God. And you know, it was a humbling experience when you have to ask somebody to help you go to the bathroom, and you're a 40-year-old woman. You know, God, really, for real, is. I'm not even 80 yet. What is going on? You know, you have to depend on other people. And I just got to be real, because I don't know how to be anything else. I got to be Linda. But I was getting angry. I was like, hold up now. Wait a minute. What's really going on here? Why are you punishing me? And with that question, that's when he took me to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. He said, you know what, little girl, let me just talk to you for a minute.
He said, little girl, I laughed because I heard someone say that the other day. That's how God deals with us. Like, you know what, little girl, let me just talk to you. You're not this great. You know, at that time, you're not this great evangelist preaching all over the world. You're not this great life coach, but you're God's little girl at that time.
Exactly.
And it's amazing. It's amazing how he fathers us and how he deals with us and how sometimes he will stop us in our tracks, just to get our attention. And you know, this is amazing for me. You know, it's over. You know, I'm like, it's blowing my mind, because I think about some of the things that I'm going through right now. That's why the book was such a blessing to me as I was reading it. And I think about some of the things that I'm going through, and I remember I tell the doctors every time they tell me you got to take this test or you have to take this test, I said, I don't have time to be sick. I don't have time for this. So when I hear that the Lord literally put you on your back for 5 months, it's like I'm over here praying like, oh, no, God. No, Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, and it's funny because, Pastor Rebecca, the people around me, they knew what was going on with me, but they couldn't help me. They couldn't offer a kind word. I mean, I was literally put in an outcast position. And if you look on my Facebook, I have a scripture, and that scripture came to me when I got ready to start Living Above Hurt and Whole Ministries. That scripture is kind of the foundation, and it says that, you know, God is going to restore the things that were taken from you, and he's going to build you up. Even though you are called an outcast, he's going to build you back up on your ruin. And so or build Israel back up on the ruin. And so, you know, I think what God was saying is that, you know, Linda, since 2007, you've been out there preaching wholeness. You've been out there preaching restoration. You've been out there preaching healing. You've been out there telling people to trust God. And, you know, and my life story, I've had a lot of hurt in my life. I've had a lot of devastation in my life. As a child, I was molested. I was almost date raped. I, you know, was involved in gangs. And God protected me from the drug side of things. But I carried a gun. I carried a knife. I wore switchblades or razor blades in my hair. So if you grab my hair, you were going to get a handful of hurt. You know, I just did a whole lot of things all the while. All the while I was in the church. I was in the youth choir. I was preaching the gospel. I was doing all of that stuff. So God was showing me that my life has never been my own life. And the things that I've gone through, I have to go through because there's somebody out there that needs to know that God can turn you around and he can turn you around for good. You can be in church and still be a hot mess. And so, you know, God, you can have a calling on your life and still be a hot mess. So God just used me, and I just acted a fool, and God let me do it. And then he said, okay, enough is enough. At the age of 14, it's time for you to come in. And if you notice, I said at the age of 14, so that means I was doing gangs and all that other stuff before the age of 14. But God said at the age of 14, it's time for you, enough is enough, Linda. It's time for you to know that I've called you. And he told me that I love you, and he told me that he had called me to ministry. He had already told me at the age of 6 that I was called to ministry. But at the age of 14, he reaffirmed it. He was like, now is the time for you to make up your mind that you're going to do your destiny. And Pastor Rebecca, I thought I did. I thought I made up my mind. I thought I said, okay, God, it's me and you. But at the age of 21, I found myself in another predicament where I needed God to come up and say, for real, Linda, you're not getting it. Really not. You need to make up your mind. And so, again, he called me to ministry. And so, you know, I like, God, my life has been a textbook for those who really want to understand how God deals with his people and how he will allow people to go out and do things, and then he will gently bring them back to him. Each time he'll bring them back to him. I wish I could say I was in church and I was kept, and God, that's not my testimony. It should have been my testimony, but that's not my testimony. I had to go out and experience the world for myself, and God was gracious enough to allow me to do that. But he said, you know what, when you come back, you're going to come back with fire. You're going to come back teaching about the hurts that you've experienced, understanding that you don't get to lose your mind, understanding you don't get to take your own life, because there were days that, Pastor Rebecca, I wanted to kill myself. And you know what? I'm not doing it. I'm going to just take my own life, and then let's see who's going to preach the gospel. Then let's see who's going to go out and do all this stuff. God said, not so. He not so. And so with all of this, God had to bring me to this point, and he had to show me the bigger picture, because, see, I was doing it at a lower level than God wanted me to do it. I was like, well, God, I'll just keep it in my little area, and it'll be cool, and, you know, people will get healed, and people, you know, from their hurt, and they'll get healed from their devastation and their hurts and their habits, and it'll just be us four and no more. God said, not so. That's not what I gave you ministry for. You need to go into the meantime.
Oh, wow. So you know, that's a powerful testimony. You know, when I listen to you, it sounds like, so you grew up in church. You grew up in church.
Yeah.
And you've known since you were 6.
I started church when I was 6 years old. My mother brought us into the church when I was 6.
And you've
Late 5, early 6.
Right, and you've known since you were 6 years old that God had called you to preach. And between the ages of 6 and 14, you just went totally on the wild side. You know, you're out there with gangs and fighting and guns and, you know, just getting wrapped up, involved with the wrong people. And in the meantime, you were preaching before 14?
I was still preaching. I was still preaching. My pastor would have me on rotation to preach. My mother, she said, I don't care what you doing outside of this home. If you gonna live here, you gonna go to church. So, you know, we always talk about how we drug our kids to church. I was drugged to church in all my mess. I mean, there were times where I would go to church, sing in the choir, skip out to the bathroom, put on some other kind of clothes and leave the church and go do what I had to do.
Wow. So what would you say about that period in your life? You know, we talk about giving God a yes and knowing that we're called and God using us in spite of our mess. You know, but what do we say about those times when we're not really walking with the Lord? You know, we're doing, we call ourselves doing what God wants us to do, but we're not really walking with Him. And He's gracious to allow us to have those moments where we're just being disobedient what we know His will is. You know, some people will say, well, you know, maybe she wasn't saved. Some people will say, well, what do you say to people who hear your testimony and say, well, you know what, how can you be in church and still have so much sin in your life? How can you be in church and still be living like the devil?
The only thing that I can say to them is I wasn't saved. You know, I had an experience with God. You know what I mean? I had an experience with God. I had experienced God, but I hadn't let God on the inside of me. It was kind of like, you know, how people say, I'm in church. They in church. They in the way, but they not of the way. And there has to be a transformation. That's why Romans 12:1-2 says that we have to get to the point where we say, you know, I'm going to transform my life by the renewing of my mind. There has to be a renewing of your mind. There has to be a solid yes in your heart when you give your life to God. There has to be a change. You cannot live the same. I don't know anyone that has given their life to God that was able to remain in sin. They had to come out of sin. And so what I tell people is I had an experience with God. I had a God encounter, but it was on the outside of me. I felt the tingling. I felt the power of God, but I didn't let that power go on the inside of me, because had I let that power go on the inside of me, I wouldn't have been mean. I wouldn't have been bitter. I wouldn't have been hateful because of the things that I've been through, because God's power would have been able to maneuver and heal me a lot quicker than I allowed it to. I lived most of my life a mean Christian and a hateful Christian. You know, I was mean and hateful and bitter, and I didn't care who knew it. And I would tell them, look, this is what you get when you deal with Linda. So you better come correct, because Linda going to tell you a thing or two. I was just like that. And we got so many people in the church, and they say they full of the Holy Ghost. But I beg to differ. I wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. I had the Holy Ghost, but I wasn't full of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost gives you a whole new walk, a whole new talk. It changes you. It transforms you. God is not a lie. He says that when coming to Him, you become a new creature. So if you're still operating the same old way, you are not in Christ. That scripture says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's a condition there. So if you're not in Christ, you're not a new creature. That means you had a God encounter, but you didn't let it on the inside.
Wow. And if you're not a new creature, then you're not in Christ. Wow.
Exactly.
Wow, that's good.
It's like I said earlier, you're in the way, you're not of the way. You're in church, but you're not of the church. You might be in the body of Christ, but you're not of the body of Christ. There's a huge difference.
We have to teach that. There has to be a teaching on that. You know, we got so far away, and we're teaching on the blessings, you know, getting the stuff and getting into ministry. And that's why I love your ministry, because we need to teach about being whole. And it sounds to me like even when you were doing your ministry, when, you know, Lord was using you, I believe that He used the church to keep you. He gave you the opportunity to preach to keep you, you know, to keep you from killing you, to keep you from the drugs, to keep you from, you know, going too far on the other side. God kept you in the meantime. He kept you, even though you are not And he was saving you while you were preaching the gospel, while you were serving him, he was saving you. And there was just, I believe, like you said, you had the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost was continually drawing you over to the light, even though you were still going back into the darkness. And even when you were ministering earlier, you were hurting. You were still hurting. You had not been made whole. You had not been healed yet. And that's what's happening in so many of our churches today, Pastor Linda, that so many people are still hurting. So many people have not been made whole. And people are going to church and they're putting on the makeup and the suits and the shoes and the designer of gear. And we're living in beautiful homes and have our husbands and our kids all put together, but we're hurting. So many women are just hurting on the inside. So many men are hurting, and nobody has really dealt with that. You know, they wonder why we still can't get it together, why people are still in the church and sinning. And I believe that a big part of that, a huge part of that, is the sin is to cover up the pain.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that a lot of us, We are, how can I say this? We believe what the devil tells us sooner than we believe what God tells us. Now,
that's
we know that the devil is the father of lies. He can't tell you the truth. And if you didn't know it, you heard it here first. The devil cannot tell you the truth. He don't want to tell you the truth. So he's going to come to you, and he's going to put enough truth in that. And we looked at that when we saw how he tempted Jesus. He went to Jesus. He did quote the word, but he twisted it. You know, he mixed it up. And so many of us, because we don't know the word of God, when the devil comes to us and he says, you know, jump off this cliff because God said he'll save you, we're like, oh, okay, yeah, because I can do all things through Christ. We don't know the word. And so he comes to us, like the Bible says, as an angel of light, giving us enlightenment, but what he's really doing is setting you up for your demise. And so we believe what he says far better and far quicker than we believe what God says. Why? Because when God tells us to do something, it requires something of us. See, the devil doesn't require anything of you. He says all you have to do is worship me. All you have to do is lay down your destiny. All you have to do is stop preaching the gospel. All you got to do is live the way you want to live, whatever makes you feel good. That's all you got to do for me. And I will give you the world. I'll give you houses. I'll give you men. Now, you go on the other side of Jesus, he going to want you to pray. He going to want you to fast. He going to want you, he might want you to preach. He might want you to testify. He might want you to give up this and give up that. But I don't do it that way. That's how he got Eve. He was like, did not God say, look at the tree. It's good. What do you mean? You can't eat from it. And so we looked at something, and because it looks good to the eye or feels good to the flesh, we feel like God is withholding something from us. But the word of God says that God will withhold no good thing. So you have to step back and say, hold up. If God is withholding this from me and he will withhold no good thing from me, then that must not be good. But we forget about that. And we forget it's tempting. And so we want a taste of it. And we want to get into it. And that's how he snares us. And then once he snares us, God has to come in and break away that delusion that the devil has us in. But as the people of God, we got to understand that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent, and he's not going to withhold any good thing from us. Yes, he's going to make you toe the line. But I remember my mother used to make me toe the line when she told me to take out the trash and clean up my room, but I still got my allowance at the end of the week.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I tell you, that's just so powerful, and it brings me back to your book, In the Meantime, When Waiting is Key. It's just so powerful that, you know, and everything that we've been talking about, we've been pretty much talking about just getting to a point where we obey God in the meantime. And, you know, I thank God for your testimony, you know, about being molested and being raped. You know, so many people hold on to those testimonies and don't share them. But we realize that sharing them helps not only helps us to continue to heal, but it helps others to know that they are not the only ones that this has happened to, and that there is a way out of that darkness that that place creates, that that experience creates. And, you know, even as you talked about being 6 and 6 to 14 and being in the church and being used of God, God always had a purpose for you. You know, Romans 8:28 we talked about, and we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, the called according to his purpose.
Yeah.
So God had already called you even from your mother's womb. You know, so often we think that things happen to us in life and that those things are, like you said, some type of punishment, but actually it brings us right back to your book where it's not punishment, but it's preparation.
Yes, preparation.
Yeah.
Because what we have to understand is, excuse me, what we have to understand is Psalm 139 says, I knew you while you were being formed in your mother's womb. And while you were being formed in your mother's womb, not only did he name your body parts and write them down, you know, I gave her eye number 17,402, you know, he knows the eyes he gave us, he knows the nose he gave us, he knows everything about us, but it also says that he has thoughts about us. And then that brings us over to Jeremiah 29:11. He says, for I know the thoughts I have concerning you. Why does he know the thoughts he has concerning me? Because in Psalms 139, he said he wrote a book about it. See, I tell people when I coach them and when they come to me, especially when they come to me for ministry, for whole ministries or Living Above Hurt ministries, I tell them, you need to go out to the dollar store, Dollar Tree, 99 cent store, whatever your dollar store is called. You need to go there and get you a composition book. You don't have to get no fancy journal. Just get you a composition book and start writing down everything. Because every thought that you have, because that's what our Father does. When he has a thought, he writes it down. He had a thought about creating an earth where people like us could live and become into relationship with him. And he wrote all of that stuff down, and then he spoke it into existence. And that's what we, that's where we as humans, as people of God, as just regular people on this earth, that's where we miss it, because we don't write stuff down. We have all these thoughts, all these dreams, all these visions, all these ideas, and we don't write stuff down. But God wrote it down, so he wasn't surprised when I was molested. He wasn't surprised when I was date raped. He wasn't surprised when I tried drugs for the first time. He wasn't surprised when I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes as a little girl, thinking that I was going to kill myself, and then and the cigarettes didn't do nothing to me. God wasn't surprised when I tried to kill myself the first time or the second time. God wasn't surprised when I finally came into the church and said, God, I surrender to you. I know I've been in church, but now I really want to be saved. God wasn't surprised when I preached my first sermon. God wasn't surprised when he called me to be a coach and he knew that I was going to struggle with that thing because I felt unworthy. God wasn't surprised about any of that. I was surprised. But God had written it all down because he knew that was going to be my preparation for my ministry. He knew that was going to be the preparation for my business. God had me go through things strategically. And somebody may not understand that, but in whole ministry, the whole ministry stands for Women Healed of Life Experiences. The reason why God gave me that is because in 2005, he said, you know what, Linda, you got to stop being mean. You got to stop being bitter. You doing all you know how to do to be saved, but you're still going to hell. He took me to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and he had me read where it says, Lord, then many will call, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, depart from me, ye work of iniquity. What really stood out to me is that it said, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? He's not talking to the world there. He's talking to the Christians. There are people sitting in the church pew, and they still going to hell because they are not doing what God wants them to do the way God wants them to do it. But they, because his gifts are given without repentance, they have the gift of prophecy. They have the gift of healing. They have all these gifts, and they're using them as a rogue minister or as a rogue prophet because God is not behind them.
Wow. Wow. And that's so powerful. You talk about that in your book, and you talk about the preparation, you know, the fact that God is preparing us. And you talked about, the fact that God is not surprised. And you're adding so much more to it even as you begin to speak, because God is not surprised that he has written everything. He said before we lived the day, all of them were written in his book. So, you know, that's just so powerful that you just put it to that point. Preparation, God is preparing us. And then you talk about motivation. You just mentioned that there are a lot of us now who are sitting up in church and we're in disobedience. There are a lot of people in disobedience, not doing what God has called them to do. There was one that really caught my attention when you began to minister about motivation and even being motivated to move. It's amazing because there are times when we know that God is telling us to move, but we don't want to move. I remember when God called my husband to do this ministry, we were in a nice, wonderful, big, prosperous church, and we were part of the leadership team, and God called do the grassroots. God called us out to do a grassroots church. And we were like, no, you know, we did not want to leave our bishop. We did not want to leave our friends. We did not want to leave our level of comfortability and come out here into the wilderness where we have been for the past 6 years, starting up a grassroots ministry. And even as I read your book, I identify so greatly with that motivation part, you know, because God actually had to touch my body also. I got pregnant. He called me to ministry, and I wasn't going to do it. I said, I'm not doing it. I'm not going through that, because there was an application process at our church, at our old church. You had to fill out this 5-page questionnaire, you know, how do you know you're called? What were you doing when you were called? What's your favorite scripture? Tell me about your family. Tell me about your friends. And I said, you know what? I don't want to fill this out because I don't want to be rejected. And I said, I'm not doing it. And I put that thing in the drawer, and I said, I'm not doing it. And I got pregnant. I was 40, and I got pregnant. And I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do with a baby? But the first thought that came into my mind was, how am I going to preach the gospel now with a new baby? And then I got used to the fact that I was pregnant. I said, okay, I'm pregnant now. I'm going to have this baby. My husband and I got happy about it. And then the child died in my womb. I went to the doctor, and he's like, have you noticed anything? Have you been having any pain? I said, no, everything's fine. You know, I'm preparing for my baby. I'm about 5 months pregnant. And he says, I need to send you for an ultrasound. And I knew something was wrong. Well, I went for the ultrasound, and the baby had stopped growing in my womb. The baby just had not been growing. And I had to actually go and have a DNC and have the dead child taken out of my womb. But God spoke to me. It was the day before Thanksgiving when I had this procedure. And God spoke to me as I was laying in the hospital bed. He said, I touched your body. He said, now, Rebecca, what if this had been unto death, and you had to stand before me and tell me why you did not do what I called you to do? And from that moment on, Pastor Linda, I knew that I was going to preach this gospel. I knew that there was nothing or nobody that could stop me. As a matter of fact, when the lady interviewed me, I knew the executive pastor interviewed me. I knew she was not going to ordain me to preach. And I asked her, what happens now after our interview, when she stood up? And she said, well, I go to pray about it, and then I talk to Bishop, and then we'll see what he says. We'll see what he thinks. And I opened my mouth, and I said, well, you want to know what I think? And this was, like, not me, but this was somebody else at that time, because I was so timid and shy. And she said, yeah, Rebecca, tell me what you think. And I told her, I said, I think that God's going to have his way. I think that if God called me to preach this gospel, that I'm going to preach this gospel, and nobody can stop me. And she just nodded her head, and that was the last conversation we had with each other before, you know, my husband and I were called out of the church. But it's motivation. What is your, what does God have to use to motivate you to obey him?
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, in when you go and referring back to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, you know, Elijah was there at the Brooke Tariff, which is, I already referred to that as the cutting place, because when you study it, you find that that's what it was. It was a cutting place. It was gorgeous and sharp red edges and just a place where he literally could have died if he would have made the wrong move at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And so God takes him to this place, and he has ravens feed him. And ravens, as we know, were, you know, Israel didn't fool with them because God said they were unclean birds, but yet God has something unclean feed in the man of God. And that's a whole sermon in itself. But it's so God can show you that I command the world. I can use whatever I choose to use, clean or not clean. So I kind of chuckle at myself when I hear someone say, well, you know, they was talking to me and they don't even go to church. I was like, yeah, because God can use whatever. If he can use a donkey, he can use anybody else. You know, if he can use a raven, he can use anybody else. But then when, you know, the ravens stopped coming and the brook started to dry up. Now, some people will tell you that, you know, he was out there a few days, he was out there a few months. But when you do the research, you find out that that man was over, he was out there for over a year.
Jesus.
He was out there for a long time. And he didn't do nothing wrong. He just proclaimed what God told him to proclaim. He said what he believed the Lord wanted him to say to the king, and then God removed him. And so he's there for a year, and the brook starts to dry up. And you've got to know when your brook is drying up. You've got to know when your season is gone, because God is going to motivate you to move on to the next thing. He's going to motivate you. He's going to put you in a situation where you're going to look around and say, you know what, I'm not comfortable here anymore. What I like about Elijah, oh, my God, what I like about Elijah is Elijah still did not move until he heard the voice of God. Some of us, we uncomfortable in a spot, and we move immediately, but we're out of the will of God because God hasn't told you where to go.
Yeah.
Elijah waited for the voice of God because he's like, God, you're the one that told me to come here, so you got to be the one to tell me to leave. And that is what that whole preparation was all about, was God was preparing him so he would know, look, when the brook starts drying up, you don't get up and run. You wait for God to tell you where else to go. And so there's going to be motivation, but you've got to, in that motivation, you've got to wait for the voice of God. And when God speaks to you, Elijah didn't say, okay, wait a minute, what you mean now? You want me to go from the cutting place to the sinful place? Because that's where Zarephath was. They were idol worship. They didn't believe in Jehovah. They didn't believe in Elijah's God. They might have known who Elijah was, but they wasn't about to say, oh, yeah, come on and have a revival. But what I like about this was Elijah was a prophet of God. He was the mouthpiece of God, and throughout this whole time, he didn't do ministry. For over a year, he didn't do ministry. He was out there in the cutting brook, or in the cutting place by the brook here. He was being fed by ravens. He was drinking the water out of the brook, but he was not doing what he was called to do. And that's what makes this book so powerful, because he was in his meantime. Because some of us, we feel like, well, God, he was a prophet. Why didn't you send him somewhere to prophesy? Because that's not what God needed him to do right then and there. God needed him to learn some stuff. God needed him to be prepared for what it was he was going to do in his life.
Powerful. I tell you, I'm talking with Pastor, author, evangelist, life coach, speaker, Linda A. Hillman, and we're talking about her book, In the Meantime, What to Do When Waiting is Key. And we're going to open up the phone lines shortly so that you all can come in and join this conversation. I can see people now. Phone lines are lit up. The phone lines are lit up, and I know some of you want to get in on this conversation, so we're going to open up the phone lines for you to be able to talk to her during this next hour. This is powerful. This book is powerful. And Linda, I just want you to give us your website so that people can begin to go over. It's an e-book. Let us know how we can get the book and how much the book is and anything else that we need to know. We're going to announce it again later. But some people come in and they come for an hour. Some people come in. So at the top of this first hour, I want to just go ahead and get your information out there.
Amen. You can go to my website, www.lindahillman.net, and for those of you, I'll type it in the chat room, but for those of you that are just listening on the phone lines, LindaHillman is how you spell my name, lindahillman.net. You can get it there. You can email me at pastorlindahillman@hotmail.com, and you can get it that way also.
Yes, and when you go over to
Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, definitely on Facebook. So on Facebook, are you, what is your Facebook? Is it Linda Hillman?
It's Evangelist Linda. So Facebook.com, Evangelist Linda.
Yes, yes. So you want to connect with this woman of God because she has some power. As you hear her speaking, she just, it's just liquid fire. Liquid fire wrapped up in her bones. I mean, I tell you, she got fire in her belly and rivers of living water overflowing from this woman of God. So you definitely want to connect with her. She is a conference speaker. She's a preacher. She is, we know she's a preacher. So you could go over and connect with her, invite her to come and do your women's ministry or even your ministry, because there are a lot of men who are hurting. It's not just about the women, but there are a lot of men who are hurting out there. I'm looking for the day when they're going to bring women in to do men's conferences, where we will actually, as women, be able to minister to the men. And so go ahead and connect with this woman of God and get her book. Get this book. It's an e-book. You can put it on your, can you use it on Nook and
I'm working on putting it on Nook and Kindle, so hopefully in the next couple of weeks it will be on Nook and Kindle. And I did want to mention for people that are listening to this broadcast, if you say that you heard it on the broadcast, the book is normally $19.95, but if you say you heard it on this broadcast, I'm going to give the book to those that want to purchase it. You know, just let me know that you heard it on this broadcast, and you'll get the book for $7.
Oh, all right. Listen, say you heard it on the Woman to Woman show. You don't have to even do the whole title. Just say I was with Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Linda on the Woman to Woman show, and we want the discounted price of $7. That's a blessing. Thank you, woman of God, for blessing our listeners on today with that price. Amen. So we're going to talk about this final point. We talked about the preparation. We talked about the motivation. I don't know if you had anything else to say about motivation. And then we want to talk a little bit about confirmation. Listen, she goes through these in depth. This book is anointed. It will be it. You would think she's speaking to you personally, and she will be, because that's the kind of anointing that's on this book. If you have an answer about a question about what God is doing in your life, this book is going to answer, help you to answer that question, because she uses the word of God and the unction of the Holy Ghost. All of that is in this book, because as I said earlier, and I'm not lying. That's one thing. I'm, you know, lying is such an easy sin. I'm too busy working on the hard ones to waste my time on that one. Amen. But this book ministered to me. It met me right where I am, and it was like, I was like, wow, you know, wow. This book, I'm right there. I'm right there. So you're going to find yourself within the pages of this book. And it's powerful. So I want you to just, as we begin to open up the phone line so that people can begin to talk to us, confirmation. We talked about the preparation and motivation. Again, if you have something else on motivation, you just go ahead and flow with it. And confirmation, when we get to that point of confirmation, and what is that about? You know, finally, I've done all of that I can do. Going through some hard times, you know, some of us are in that place right now. Some of us are right there in preparation. We're like, Lord, help me. I'm right here in that preparation stage. And then we get to the point of motivation and finally confirmation. So what does confirmation look like? And is there, I mean, can we even determine how long the seasons last as far as the preparation, the season of preparation, the season of motivation? How do we get to confirmation?
You know, and I just love God because he is the one that determines the length of the time. Some people's preparation might be a month, some might be a day, some might be a year, like in Elijah's case. Some might be a few years, like in my case. But God determines the length of the preparation. And I can tell you this, you have a say in it, as in, am I going to be obedient? Or if I'm going to kick and scream, am I going to go willing, or am I going to kick and scream? Because the one thing that we learned from Elijah is Elijah didn't kick and scream. God told him to go to the brook Cherith, he went. God told him to go to Zarephath, he went. He didn't argue. He didn't say, well, God, why this? Well, I got to be the one. He didn't do all of that. He just went and did what God said. When God sent the raven to feed him, he was like, that's a nasty bird. I don't want to be eating out the mouth of a raven. Raven is a scavenger. You don't know where his mouth is. He just took the food. And so I think we help determine how long we're going to be in it by our attitude. But God is the one that sets the time, because he already knows if you're going to have a good or bad attitude about it. So that's the preparation. The motivation is when God speaks, then you know the move. You stay there until God speaks. And then the confirmation comes. It's whatever God tells you. There's going to be confirmation. When he told Elijah to go to Zarephath, there's a widow, I prepared a widow to take care of you. He didn't have to question that, because God told him to go to the brook Cherith, and there would be some ravens that he would take care of him there, and there were some ravens to feed him. He had water and food. Now, you need to understand that during the time that Elijah was at the brook Cherith, the rest of Israel was in a famine. The rest of the world was in a famine. Nobody was eating but Elijah. See, that's the keeping power of God. Because even though you're in your mess, even though you're in the meantime and you're waiting for God, he's still taking care of you. He's still supplying your needs. He's still giving you what you need, even though the rest of the world might not be getting what they need. And so when the motivation came for him to move, God told him, go to Zarephath, and I'll prepare the widow to feed you and to take care of you. And so when he got to the city, guess what? There's confirmation. There's the widow. And she feeds him. She might have did it reluctantly, but she did it.
Yeah.
So when God tells you something, you've got to look for that confirmation. I don't care what it comes into. You know, some people get wrapped up, well, they have a nasty attitude. I don't know if that was God. Yeah, it was God, even with that nasty attitude. Because if you think about it, what person in their right mind in the middle of a famine is going to want to feed you?
Yeah.
They gonna all have a problem with it.
Yes. Yeah, that's true, and that's just so powerful that he.
I mean, especially a mother, and I got a son, and this is gonna be our last meal, and you want me to get you some food?
Yeah.
You got me twisted. You know,
it's amazing.
I thought the woman was black enough, but I could just hear you got me twisted. You just straight up came out of nowhere, and you want me to feed you for real?
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, you're right.
There's always going to be that confirmation. There's always going to be that confirmation, and then you know, even in that confirmation, the destiny, the realization of what it is that God really wants to do in your life. Why you had to wait, why you had to be there, is because at the end of the day, you're there to save somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing life back to a dead situation. And see, if Elijah had got up in 6 months and went to Zarephath, he would have missed the death of the boy.
Yeah, wow.
You know what I'm saying? He would have missed what God really wanted him to do. And so that's why waiting is so key, because if you miss it, that boy would have been dead and God wouldn't have got the glory that he got. And I love it, because at the end of the chapter, the woman says, you are truly a man of God.
Yes.
Who got the glory from that? Not Elijah, but God got the glory. Because now this woman is going to serve Elijah's God to the day she dies, because Elijah's God brought my son back to life.
Mm.
I'm not confused about who this man is. He's a man of Jehovah. He's a man of Yahweh. He's a man of God, the eternal God, the only one true God. Because in all the idols that I was serving, they couldn't put food on my table. But this man came. And not only was me and my son able to eat from the day this man walked into my house, but when my son died, and I thought he came to judge me and take my son, he gave my son back his life.
Mm.
My idols do that. My God. My God.
Powerful. Powerful. I tell you that is just so powerful. Wow. Somebody's life depends upon your obedience. Wow, and that's what God spoke to me. He has spoken to me that people are dying out there. Time is of an essence. And then you just brought it home. Timing is of an essence. Not exactly time, but God's divine timing is of an essence. That you move according to God's timing, and that is just so powerful. I'm telling you, get the book, everybody. Just get the book. This book is just, I feel the anointing even now. I'm just God is just so awesome. He's moving, even on this broadcast. Somebody is being blessed. We had a hand raised. Call on in. We're going to open the phone lines. 646-652-4832. And you can speak with my guest today and myself. Call in. If you're already on the phone lines and you want to speak to the guest, or if you have a comment or a question, just press 1. And I will put you on the air. But that is just so powerful. My God, that boy's life was spared. That boy was brought back to life because the man of God obeyed, because he was obedient, and God moved mightily. My God, powerful book. Again, we're talking with Pastor Linda A. Hillman. She's the author of In the Meantime, When Waiting is Key. You want to get a copy of this book. It is powerful. It's going to minister to you. You could get your own copy, get your highlighter, and begin to let this book continue to speak to you. If you just tuned in and you missed some of the broadcast, and about 15 minutes after the broadcast, you can go back and listen to the archives at blogtalkradio.com/power, or you can catch the archives on my website, nccmonline.org, or go to Facebook. It will definitely be posted on our Facebook pages. I'm telling you, and this book is a blessing. And so many of you who are waiting, who are here today, you're not here by chance. The Lord sent you here because a lot of you are in your meantime, and you've been waiting on the Lord, and your ministries have been held up. And God is saying that today is the day of supernatural release to you. God is letting you know that he has been in the mix, that God has been all the way in the midst of that situation, that he has his hand on your situation, and that nothing, listen to me, nothing that you're going through now is by chance. He sent this woman of God as a prophet. This book is prophetic. And he sent this woman of God as a prophet to speak into your life on today, to let you know through the pages of her book and even from the very mouth, from her mouth, that God is intentional about his plans for you, that there is no mistake with God, that what you're walking through right now is not by chance, it's not a mistake, it's not by happenstance, it is divinely orchestrated. Prophet Pastor Linda, just go ahead and speak to the people. Just speak to the people as we wait for them to call in. They're in. They're on the phone lines. The phone lines are lit up, but nobody has raised their hand yet. 646-652-4832, and just push 1, and we'll put you on the air. Go ahead. I want you to go ahead and speak to the people.
I think when I was listening to you talk about, you know, it's not half a stance, and, you know, there's people that are in their meantime. And like I said earlier when we were talking, that this book was really birthed out of my own meantime experience, because I was out doing everything that I thought God wanted me to do, and then my knees gave out, my back gave out, I was on my back flat, and he had me study this out, and while I was studying it out, I was writing it, and even with that, you know, I thought, you know, okay, it's ready to go out, and God said, no, there's a little bit more that you got to tell the people. I believe that this book is very instrumental in the lives of those that will read it, for the simple fact that when you read this book, it takes you through that process. And if you are one that's fighting against the will of God in your life, it almost disarms you, because I know it disarmed me when God started talking to me about preparation, because not only was he preparing Elijah, but he was also preparing the situation for Elijah, because maybe if Elijah would have come 6 months prior to going to Zarephath, she might not have wanted to feed him because she might have had food at that time. You know what I'm saying? She might have been in a different place, but God had to get her in a place of desperation and had to get him in a place of desperation so they could meet one another and fulfill one another's needs. We don't even realize sometimes what God is doing in our lives and who he's strategically placing in our lives. And so we'll have someone who comes, because Ahab had to be king for a reason, because Ahab had to lead the people of God away so there could rise up an Elijah. See?
Yeah.
And then Elijah had to go and speak to the king, and when he spoke to the king, God had to take him away. Why? Because the king had a wife called Jezebel, and Jezebel couldn't get her hands on Elijah just yet because they were going to have some stuff to go over in the future chapters. And so she couldn't get him right now. I got to go hide him away. So we think that, you know, everything is happening and it's working against us, but God is like, no, it's working out for your good, because everything together for the good of them that are called according to my purpose. And so the point is, you've got to be called according to his purpose. There's another condition there. Just like if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's a condition there. You don't just get this outright. You've got to be called according to his purpose. And not only are called according to his purpose, but you've got to truly love him. Because Elijah had to love God to go to the cutting place. Elijah had to love God to go to the sinful place. He had to love God to be able to say, God, let me go and take this boy up to my room and lay on his body and bring him back to life. And I know somebody is saying, well, she's giving the book away. No, you get that book, you'll see there's a lot more in that book than what I'm saying. But you'll understand, I'm giving you the key points. There is a reason. He had to raise the dead. When it all boils down to it, he had to raise the dead. He had to spend a year in a place where there was nobody else, and he was fed by ravens so he could go to Zarephath and raise the dead. If that doesn't make you say, oh, God, what am I stopping by not surrendering to you, by trying to do it my own way? If that doesn't make you say, God, I'll give it to you, I want to do it your way, and nothing else will stop me. I love that Pastor Rebecca said when she got ready to preach, she was like, hey, nobody stop me from preaching, because I know what it is that I'm called to do. When you get that determination, it doesn't matter what God takes you through. It doesn't matter how many in the meantime moments you have. You're willing to say, God, whatever it takes, because at the end of the day, I'm here to raise the dead.
Ah,
my God.
Jesus.
Woo.
Jesus. My God. My God. My God. That's it. That's it right there. Lives are at stake. People are dying out there, and your assignment is being held up by your disobedience. And, you know, and not only your disobedience, but sometimes, like you said, that was so crucial. You got to know what God is saying, when God is saying, and he puts you on your back. You're in the middle. This was just so powerful. Your testimony. You being in the middle of saving lives. You're saving souls, saving, changing lives, you know, out there preaching the gospel, and God put you on your back. Why at that time did you think God interrupted what you were doing to put you on your back before he allowed you to go forward again?
I believe it was because this book had to come out, because if God hadn't put me in that situation, I wouldn't have asked the questions that I asked, because that was my question, God, why now? and God told me, and that's what it was, is that, Linda, you're doing good. I'm not, this isn't a punishment. This is a clarity call.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us, we look at, oh, well, God, I'm sick and my knees are acting up. I can barely hold up my own weight and, you know, and this, that, and the other. This is a punishment because I was out there doing your will. And, you know, at first I was like, this is the devil that plagued my body. And I was rebuking it and all other kinds of stuff. And I kid you not, Pastor Rebecca, the more I rebuked it and called out on the name of Jesus and threw all on me and all of that stuff and had people pray that God healed my knees and knew this and that and the other, the worse I got.
Wow.
Because I was like, you know what, keep acting foolish. Keep acting crazy. You better ask me what's going on. And when I asked him, that's what it is. I believe this book would have never come out, and this book is going to touch lives like my testimony could never do. Because some people may never get to hear my testimony, but they'll read my book.
This
book has to come out. And in the end, it's all about now I have clarity, even on what I'm doing as a coach, even what I'm doing as a pastor. God has called me to what I call one of the most sinful cities in America, San Francisco. Homosexuality is running rampant. It is the modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. But God has called me there, but he's given me so much clarity on what it is I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to love and how I'm supposed to go there with a message of hope and all of that. Because there are people dying. There's people dying of AIDS. There's people dying of all kinds of manners of evil in the city of San Francisco. And they don't get to die, not on my watch.
Yeah. So you're going to do what God has called you to do. And it's amazing how sometimes when God puts us down, when we get up, we have even more fervor and even more determination to do what it is that God has called us to do. And some of some of the people who are listening, you know, you're going through some stuff right now, but I pray that this broadcast and what the woman of God had to share on today has helped you to see what really is going on. And the devil is lying. He's a liar. He's the orchestrator of lies, the father of lies, and the truth is not in him. And I pray that you're being encouraged even now as you listen and go back and listen to the broadcast again and get the book. It's an e-book, which means you can have it today. You can have it today. If you order it today, you can download this e-book onto your computer and begin to read and see what God has to say to you, because we couldn't cover it all. You know, I didn't want our Pastor Hillman to give away the whole book. She only touched on little pieces in the book. There's little pieces. But as you read the book, I guarantee you, you're going to find yourself in the book, and God is going to speak to you directly. But this is more than a book. This is a ministry that's going to speak to your very soul. And if you know somebody else who seems to be stuck, who seems to be getting discouraged, who's getting discouraged because they feel like their ministry or their life has been put on hold. Maybe they haven't gotten the opportunity to preach, or maybe they haven't, their husband hasn't come, and maybe that child still is not acting the way that child needs to act, or maybe they're going through a troubled marriage, or maybe there's some problems with their money or your money. It might be you. It might be somebody that you know that is experiencing this in the meantime experience, and God wants you to be enlightened on today, and he wants you to get all of the answers that you need and even be equipped to wait on the Lord and be of good courage to know that God is right there in the middle of the situation with you, and to praise him even in the middle of the situation. If that's you, or if you know somebody that has this situation, this is an altar call for you to just go ahead and buy the book. You know, tell Pastor Hillman that you heard it on the show today. And you can get it for only $7. That's a blessing already, that God is blessing you with 12 extra dollars in your pocket. You can get it for $7 today and read this book and give it to someone as a gift. Buy a copy for you and buy a copy for somebody else and download it and print it out and get your highlighter, get a 3-ring binder and put it in that binder and keep it with you and make your notes And note today that God is speaking today, that he's taking you to that place of confirmation. God is, I believe God is bringing you to that place of confirmation on today, and he's going to keep you in the midst of the preparation and to begin to motivate you. Somebody's in that place of motivation when you're just on the edge of getting ready to obey God. But I want you to go ahead, and we want you to go ahead and go over to Pastor Linda's website at lindahillman.net. And you'll be able to pick up your copy of the book. And again, we only have 35 more minutes. Raise your hand, just push one, and talk to us. Let us know any comments that you have, any questions that you have about the book, anything that the Lord spoke to you about what Pastor Hillman was saying, or even what I said, anything that's on your heart. Just let us know. Let your voice be heard. Pastor Hillman, I know God has something on your heart.
Yeah, you know, I just really want, if anyone hears anything that was said today, I want them to know that if you are out there doing what God has called you to do and you are in your meantime, you're in that waiting period, you're waiting to hear the voice of God, you know, things were going good and then they stopped, or maybe you're just at the beginning of your ministry and you can't seem to get things off the ground, and you're wondering, God, I know you told me to do this, but things aren't coming together. I just want you to know that the waiting is key, because you don't want to get ahead of God. You don't want to get behind God, but you want to be walking right next to God so you can do what God has called you to do in the timing that God has called you to do it. That's what you got to get from this, is that people's lives are at stake for you and your obedience. And if you are going to walk in this thing, if you're going to walk in this thing like God told you to walk in this thing, then you've got to understand that it's not about you, it's not about the people around you, but there are little lives that are depending on you. They're in incubators, they're in hospitals, they're on their deathbed, they might have even died already. You know, Lazarus died, and 4 days later, Jesus came and brought him back to life. They may be at different stages, but you are the key element to bring them back to life. But because God has given you that gift, you've got to be in the timing of God. So even though it looks like you're not doing anything, even though it looks like nothing is happening, things are happening around you. God's preparing you. He's getting ready to start to motivate some of you. Some of you are waiting for the confirmation. But whatever it is, walk with God. Know that God is with you, and walk in the purpose and the destiny that God has called and decreed over your life.
Amen. Amen, amen, and that's so powerful, because as you were speaking, I was thinking about the fact that God, this is what God wanted me to, two things. One thing, God took Elijah to the widow of Zarephath, and that was a place of, that was even more so, I mean, the brook with the ravens, that was a place of scarcity, and then he took him to a person that had scarce means. So he took him to a scarce place. And this woman barely had enough to feed herself and her son, but he allowed this man to be fed in that scarce place. And I'm like, wow, God, that is just so powerful, because it doesn't matter. You said it doesn't matter what it looks like, but that could be very well be your place of provision for this season. And I think about how God sends us to church, my husband and I, to our church every week. And you know, like I said, we're in our wilderness, transitioning from a wilderness to a place of called full. And how God just sends us there every week, and he said, there are people that I'm sending here that need to be fed. And it's your obedience that's keeping them alive, that's giving them life, that's speaking life to these people. And it's the love. You talked about being motivated by love. It's the love for God and the love for the people that motivates us to keep going back week after week, even though what God has shown us has not come to fruition yet, even though we have not seen in the natural be made manifest what God has shown us in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm, you know, but we know that God has already spoken. And even if you never, I was telling somebody the other day, even if you never see it, that God is building that legacy. He's building that legacy that some of the things that you're doing today, some of the things that we're doing today are going to outlive us. And the generations that are coming after us are going to be blessed as a result of it. And that's what you showed us in this book, even using the life of Elijah, because even now, all these generations later, we're blessed even by reading his story, by reading about what God in his life and how God brought him through and how generations are being blessed even as a result of his obedience. And then you talked about walking with God. You earlier, I wanted to get back to the prayer thing because you talked about the fact like, wait a minute, God, Elijah didn't pray. And, you know, it's amazing because the thing about it is that Elijah lived a lifetime of walking with God. You just said it, how he walked with God. And it takes your prayer life to a whole new level when you realize that we are called to pray without ceasing. That means that we are walking in divine communion, divine fellowship with God at all times. That we're walking with God, he's talking to us, and we're talking to him. And it's constant. It's not, oh, I got to go pray. No, I've been praying. I am walking a life of prayer. And that's just so powerful. Powerful.
Exactly. And you know, and that's what God had to show me. It wasn't, you know, on the road to God and in my time of need. No, that's what I do. That's who I am.
Yeah.
So everything that comes out of my mouth is a prayer.
Yeah.
You know, and as a prophet, you know, we are still supposed to speak what God speaks. And so, therefore, you know, we have to be alive. We have to, prayer has to be who we are. It's not what we do. It's who we are. And that's what God showed. Prayer was Elijah. He was prayer. My God, let that be your spirit. Because somebody is wondering, you know, God, what is it? What, why? You know, even listening to this, I'm still asking and questioning God, why? And I'm here to tell you it's because you haven't cultivated your life to be prayerful. You haven't cultivated yourself to know when God is speaking and to know when it's time to move and not move. And so God is speaking to you, but your ears are closed. And so God brought you to this show this day so you can hear, because he's trying to circumcise your ears. He's trying to circumcise your heart. He's trying to pull some things out of you so he can pour some things into you, because you've got to be, you know, we always shun prayer. You know, that's the last reason. I'm going to try to figure it out myself. But no, prayer has to be number one. It has to be home place all the time. That's what Elijah taught me. Prayer has to be key. It's key. Because if you have a prayer life, you can endure anything, then whether God is putting you through it or the devil is putting you through it, you can endure it.
And I thank God for his grace and his mercy, because he continually allows us to walk with him. And as we're walking with him, he's teaching us how to be, through the Holy Ghost, how to be in relationship with him. And then he begins to send people to speak. He leads us in the path that we should go. You know, when we begin to live out scripture and not just pull out a scripture to quote the scripture when we have a necessity, when we have a need, but we live that thing out, God, he directs the path, me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He orders our steps. He leads us the way that we should go, and he takes us to places that we need to go. See, you had to be here today, Pastor Linda, for those who are tuned in to hear. You know, somebody just needs to hear that they needed a confirmation that they were on the right path and that they really had been hearing God. Somebody needs to be encouraged in their walk, you know, to know that, you know what, your labor is not in vain, that God sees you and he hears you and that he has a great plan for you, and he's going to bring that plan to fruition in your life. And just somebody just needs to be motivated. Somebody needs to be motivated. They've been hearing God, and they need to be motivated. And I believe that God speaks through all avenues. And I just thank God for you, woman of God. I thank God for this book. Again, I read it at the last hour. I read it last night. I sat down. The devil had, I don't even want to say the devil. I had been challenged in my voice. I went to teach a Bible study on Wednesday, and my voice just totally went out from under me. But I taught that Bible study. It was an hour, and we got the glory of the Lord, fell in that place, and we tarried another 45 minutes with the Lord, you know, with prayer and just deliverance. And I just thank God for that. But he had me be still yesterday, and I was sitting down being still yesterday and on Thursday. But yesterday I picked up your book, and I read this book, and I could not put it down. And I was reading this book, and I said, you know, this book is going to bless many, many people, because it's a book that will not, it's seasonless, you know, in other words, it's timeless. It's a book that is relevant. It's a book that's going to speak to people no matter where they are at any time of their lives, that people will be able to pick up in the meantime. And it will in their time season. And that book will be able to pivot them into being equipped to handle whatever season they are in. And I just know God is going to be glorified. It already is. Mightily through this book in the meantime when waiting is key. So I thank God for you, woman of God, and your obedience during your meantime, that while God had you laying on your back, that he used that to save much people alive. Because some people just want to give up and die spiritually. See, the thing is, he comes to kill, you know. He comes to kill your spiritual assignment. And some people just were, like you said, are ready to say, you know what, I'm not, why should I preach? Why should I keep believing God for that husband? Why should I parent these kids? Why should I stay clean? Why should I not pick up again? And this book is going to help so many that are right there, because everybody doesn't have it. Contrary to popular belief, we're not all walking strong in the Lord. Some of us are struggling.
My God. And, you know, the thing about it, when you study about Elijah, this man had so many issues. You know, he had depression. If he was in our day, they would call him bipolar. He just had so many issues. But yet, throughout all of his issues, God could use him. I remember right before God put me on my back, which is actually how I started really studying this, 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, God gave me a sermon, and it was God can use me in my issues too. And out of that sermon, I brought out how Elijah, when he went to this woman's house, he didn't offer her salvation. You know, he was a minister of the gospel. He didn't teach her. He didn't tell her nothing about Jesus. He knew this woman was an idolater. He just went in, ate her food, got him a bedroom, because, you know, he took her, you know, you read in the word, it said he took the boy upstairs to his room. So it's like, okay, he got a room in her house, he was eating her food, and never once offered her Jesus. Never once said, do you know Jesus in the pardon of your sins? And so when her son died, she was angry. She's like, did you come here to judge me? And Elijah's like, oh, I'm about to be easy to God. You should have told me this was coming, so I could have moved out 2 weeks ago. You know, just say, I was about to kill the boy, I would have been gone. But God needed to show Elijah that even in the midst of your issues, some of us have major issues, and sometimes our issues get in the way of our ministry. But God is like, even then, I'm still in control. Even then. You know, we hear Elijah in the next couple of chapters, he went to God and said, God, I'm the only one. There ain't nobody else out here, brother. Just me. And God said, hold up. Hold up, son. I got 3,000. I got 7,000 that haven't bent their knees. What you talking about? We think that we're the only one going through what we're going through. And God was like, no. You got issues, but that's okay. I still love you. I'm going to still use you.
Wow. And I thank God for that, you know, that he uses us even while he's healing us, you know, from the anger. Because you talked about how mad you were, how mean you were. And, you know, I guess you got to a point where God was able to heal you of the pain of your past, of the molestation and the rape. And, you know, and then he was able to use you for real, because now that you've been delivered and now that you've been strengthened, you're encouraging your brothers or your sisters. And that is just so powerful, because so many people have that testimony of women of being molested, of being raped. And it's amazing how many do have that testimony of being neglected and rejected, even by parents. You know, and then that God steps in the middle of that, of our mess, and creates a message that we can take back to the world to say, look at me, I'm healed, I'm whole, God set me free. You know, he took away my pain, he took away, and it's just so powerful to have the Lord use you the way that he's using you with the writing of the books and even the ministries, the whole ministries, and the ministries that he's using you to bring wholeness back to the body. You know, because the body is sick, and we come together as one body, and God's using you, and he's using other people around the world to bring wholeness back, to bring wholeness to his body, that we should prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers as a body. Yeah. It's just so needed. So I just thank God for you. I want you to... we have about 20 minutes, and people are listening. When I don't get calls like this, I know that God is really blessing the listeners because the callers are here, but they're listening. And I just sense that there's a tugging in the spirit realm for a release, and God is just releasing some folk in their ministry, in their marriages, in their minds. There's a release taking place in the mind. If you can, just speak to that person that's been held up from something that happened in the past. If you could just take a moment to speak to that person that's been held up from the past. And then we're going to take the call right after that. We do have a caller.
Amen. I just want to say something from the book that I'm writing, Will You Be Made Whole? And this it ties right in. We have to understand that God wants to restore. Psalms 23, it talks about he will restore us and he will bring back life. If you study that, and if you know anything about Linda, Linda likes to study the Hebrew and the Greek, and I like to really get into the root of the words, because I believe that God used certain words because of their roots, because when you study it, you get a profound a knowledge of what it is that God is trying to say. But the word restore in the 23rd Psalm says that God will bring back to life.
Mm.
Back to life. So when we, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. What he's saying there is that God brings me back to life. So when you've been hurt, especially in the church, now whole ministries, I use that for women that don't know God. They don't have a clue who God is. They don't know God can heal them. So whole ministries is more for the world. But living above hurt is for the church, because what I found is that there are people sitting in the pews that need to be restored. They need to be brought back to life. God has ministry in their belly, and somebody snatched their life from them before they even got started. But God says he wants to restore you. Your marriage is not so far gone that God can't restore it. Your child is not so far gone that God can't restore it. Your life is not so far gone that God can't restore it. You might have flatlined, but God can still restore it, because he can still bring you back to life. And in the word of God, it says in Jeremiah, it says that I will restore the health to you. We need to understand that word restore means to bring back to life.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than I'm going to go get something that's broken down and I'm going to fix it up and make it look good. No, I'm going to bring it back to life.
Yes.
I'm going to bring it back to its original state. My God. And so whatever you're going through right now, it may look flatline to you. It may look like you're in a desert place. It may look like you're in that cutting place. It may look like you're in Zarephath and it's a place of scarcity. But understand this, God's going to restore you. He's the one that's going to do it. And so whatever you're doing, they used to sing a song in a church that I went to. They used to sing, don't give up. You're on the brink of your miracle. Don't give in. God is still on the throne. You've got to know that No, God is still in control of your situation. You got to know that no matter what you're faced with, no matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like, God is in control, and he wants to restore life. He wants to bring you back to life.
My God, amen, amen, amen. And that's the word right there. I felt God in that, and that somebody got a breakthrough right there in the name of Jesus. My God, my God. Well, we do have a caller, a hand raised. Pastor Anthony is here, my husband, my wonderful husband. He's been listening throughout the broadcast. And, honey, you're on the air.
Amen. I thank God for Pastor Linda. I've been so blessed, not just by her testimony, but her godly wisdom and insight. Just a powerful show today. God is ministering, and I'm just hearing the word of the Lord. She said something key just a few moments ago, how Elijah had issues. And it took me back to when Jesus fed the 5,000 with the two fish and five loaves. And after he did that, he got on a ship, and he began to refer to bread. And they thought he was talking about natural bread. They thought Jesus was mad because they didn't have any bread on the boat. And he said, you still do not understand the two fish and five loaves. And understand, in other words, you still do not understand why I gave you the miracle in the first place. God. We have miracles in our former years, even as Pastor Lynn talked about her childhood, her teenage years, and all those miracle works that God did in her young life prepared her for ministry today. And we see this trend in our church, especially among the leaders, the clergy, of first families going through a high rate of divorce as far as pastors are concerned. And one of the things that she touched on is that God wants to minister to us first. We as ministers, we as pastors, we who have been called to minister, God does not want us to lose ourselves as we minister to others.
Paul
said, God forbid if I lose myself while I save others. And I just want you to speak to that, how Elijah needed something from God, how he continued to minister out of his overflow. How do we stay sharp in the things of God? Now, not just clergy, but those who are called to ministry. And how do we continue to minister out of our overflow that we don't lose ourselves or our souls trying to minister to others?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, the one thing that God was showing me in this season, like I said, I was flat on my back, and what God was showing me was that, Linda, you can never forget that you're my little girl. You can never forget that I love you like a father. And it's, even now I'm getting emotional because I think that as ministers we think, we're pastor, we're prophet, we're evangelist, we're the great teacher, that we feel that, we always have to be up. But God was saying, with me, you can be who you are. You don't have to be Pastor Linda right now. You can just be Linda and let me talk to you. And I think that's the importance of operating in the overflow and not operating out of me. Because when I am, I get upset with ministers who say, I don't have a life. I just do the ministry. I get upset with them. I'm like, go watch a movie because you ain't going to help nobody anyway. Go watch a movie. You need to go take some downtime. When do you pray? When do you fast? When do you have your quiet time with the Lord? Because you always out there doing ministry. No, you need to stop sometimes because you can't allow yourself to just go down to nothing. And I want to talk to just the person that says, well, I'm not called to minister. I'm not called to preach the gospel. I'm just somebody's mother. I'm just somebody's wife. I want to talk to you because sometimes those are the people that feel like they are left out. Well, God's going to talk to the minister. He's going to talk to this one. But I'm just a lowly housewife. I'm just, a teacher or, whatever it is. I want to talk to you, too, because you got to understand that God knows the thoughts and the plans he has for you. Whether you're called to preach the gospel or not, he has a divine plan for your life. So you've got to get in that quiet place. You've got to get in that place, that cunning place, and allow God to minister and to feed you so you can do what God has called you to do. It may be just paint a picture. It may be just write a book. It may be just teach your child the principles and the doctrine and the word of God. Whatever it may be, you've got to be the best that you can be at it. And so you've got to have that quiet time to sit before the Lord and to hear of him. Because when he fills you up, it's just like with the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost came, it says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And so that as they were filled with the Holy Ghost, it began to bubble out of their mouth because there was so much that they couldn't contain it. That's what you want to get to. You want to get to, whether you're ministering the gospel or not, you want to get to the point where you're just so full of God, so full of his Spirit that it bubbles out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And that's all you can do. Because then if you pour, I always tell people to take a cup of water and put it in your sink and let the water flow. And as it fills up the cup gets filled. But at some point, the cup is going to get filled to overflowing. And it's going to keep, the water's going to stay in there, but the other water, the excess water, is going to be boiling out. And that's where you minister from. That's where you give from. You don't give from what's in the cup. You give from what's pouring out of the cup.
Oh, oh, woo! That's it. That's it. Oh, my God. Pastor Anthony, did you have anything else? Wow.
No, I love that response because we need to turn back this paradigm that's in God's church and allow people to, because many people are looking to the leaders. And God forbid, if leaders continue to fall, people are losing in their faith in God's potential and ability for their lives. So one by one, we got to take hold of the scriptures. That's why Jesus was chastising and rebuking his disciples in a way, like, you know, in a 3-year span, you guys got to get this thing. Because you're going to continue, I'm going to pass on the relay to you, and you got to continue this. And he goes on and pray that those who believe through what you teach, glory be to God, they will be saved and converted. So now we, the current disciples, we got to pass this on. I was just talking to a gentleman on my way to the church, and he said, our young people need somebody to minister to them. They have bad behavior. They have violent behavior. They're cursing and they're dropping out of high school. But he was saying that people are afraid of them. But somebody got to minister to that. And that's why I love her testimony that she understands that life and that lifestyle and can relate to certain behaviors. So I just thank God for the word today and her being obedient and writing that book.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. Go ahead.
The thing that I was listening to is that we, you know, when God gives us a calling on our lives, we can't be afraid to move in that calling because, you know, it's like, I was like, God, well, why can't I talk to the rich folk? Why can't I talk to the people that, you know, got stuff together and, no, God said, because the hurting need me just like the rich need me. The poor need me just like the affluent need me. You know, and it's you know, we always want to go to the sunny side of the dock of the boat. You know, we want to get on the side that's going to be okay and there's smooth sailing. But many times Jesus told the disciples, two times I should say, Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat, go to the other side. And when they got in the boat to go to the other side, doing what Jesus told them to do, there was a storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus not know that there was going to be a storm? Did he just by fluke tell them to get in the boat? No, because why? He wanted to say, even though you're in the midst of the storm, remember what I told you. I told you to go to the other side. So this storm isn't going to take you out because I told you to go to the other side. And if we just remember that what God told us is to go to the other side, no matter what comes up in the midst of it, we know we're about to go to the other side because God said so. And so we got to get there and we got to understand if God tells you to go and minister to the gangbanger, it's going to be all right because he told you to go. If he told you to go to the poor, it's going to be all right because he told you to go. If he tells you to go to the rich, it's going to be all right because he told you to go.
Yeah.
You just got to do what God told you to do and remember what he said.
Wow. It's a higher purpose. It's a higher purpose because both times when they went to the other side, they were met with the demon possessed. You know, they were met with the outcast. They were met with, you know, those who had strongholds over their lives. And it's a higher purpose. It's just a higher purpose. It's not about us. You said that earlier, that it's not about us, and that is just so powerful. And I want to also touch on the fact, the book, Pastor Linda's book, is not just minister, it's not for ministry. You know, and I like she said earlier that this is for the housewife. This is for the person on the job. You know, you need to understand that preparation, God prepares you for your purpose in life, for your life's purpose. You may never mount the pulpit, you may never preach a sermon. This book is not just for preachers. It's not for people who are aspiring to be preachers or ministers or the fivefold. This book is for everybody, and the preparation for God could be taking you from the bottom to the top. He could be taking you from being a secretary to be CEO. He could be taking you from being CEO of somebody else's corporation to being CEO of your own corporation, entrepreneur. So God already is preparing you for what he has already established, the work that you would do in this life. And then the motivation, he would use things to motivate you to know when to move. And again, it doesn't have to pertain to church. You can take it and apply it to church, but it's also for your life. When to move from one company to the next, when to put your resume back out there, when to go ahead as a married couple to begin to have children, when to get married, or when to say this relationship is dead and I'm out of here. You know, that motivation and that confirmation, God will always speak into your life to show you and to confirm what it is that he is speaking to you. And this book is so crucial because it covers every aspect of your life. So, you know, I just thank God for, again, this book, the last 4 minutes of the broadcast. I thank every listener who listened, and I know you were blessed. Listen, the archives are going to be posted later on my Facebook, and they're always on our website at nccmonline.org, and they're going to be on Pastor Linda's Facebook, Linda Hillman, Evangelist, Pastor Priest. Like she said, the title doesn't even matter. You know, it'll be on her Facebook. Go and spread this archive around. People need to hear. Put it on your page. Put it on your Facebook page. People need to hear what was said today, and you need to hear it again. So go back and listen to the archive and take your notebook. Take notes and say, God, what are you saying to me? Amen. Visit the website, lindahillman.net. I put it in the chat room also, and get your copy of the book today for $7. Pastor Linda, I'm going to give you another final say as we get ready to go off the air in the next couple of minutes.
Yeah, I just really want, if I may, just to pray for those that are listening, that, you know, whatever period of life that you're in, whether you're in the preparation, the motivation, or the confirmation stage, I just want to pray that you do exactly what God wants you to do, that you hear his voice, and that you live a life that is emanating prayer all the time, that your life is prayer. So, Father God, I give you the glory and the honor and the praise.
Yes.
I thank you for this broadcast today. God, I thank you for the man and woman of God that allowed me to come on and to share what you've done in my life, God. But more importantly, God, I want you to bless those that are listening. Bless those that are in whatever stage of life they're in, God. Maybe they're in the preparation stage. Maybe they're in the motivation stage. Maybe they're in the confirmation stage. And, God, maybe they haven't even begun the process at all. Wherever they may be in their life, God, I want you to make yourself known to them, God. Lord, I want them to know that they know that they know that they are in you, God, that they are a new creature, that they can go through this, and they will come out, God. They will come out on the other side, God, and you will give them clarity of thought. You will give them clarity of mission. They will know what their purpose is. They will know what their destiny is, God. They will begin to walk out that purpose, walk out that destiny, God. They will not let anyone stop or hinder or block them, God. They will do exactly what you say do, when you say do, how you say do, God. They will totally surrender themselves to you, God. It's not our will, but thy will be done, God. In the name of Jesus, I come against any hindering spirits that would try to whisper lies now. I tear down every thought that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. God, I ask that you would come in and pour out your peace that passes all understanding, God. Give that woman, give that man peace now. Give Give them understanding now in the name of Jesus. Give them revelation, knowledge in Jesus' name, God. Let them know that you are right there with them, that you understand what they're going through, that you are the one that placed them there, God, and you're in control of everything. You are not taken by surprise by what's going on in their life. Good, bad, or indifferent, God. You are well aware of what's going on with your child. And so, God, I just give you the glory and the honor and the praise. I ask that your spirit be loose now. Let the anointing flow, God. Even when this broadcast is over, God, let your anointing still continue to tug at the heart that we will do the right thing. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Pastor Linda Hillman, thank you so much, my God, for being our guest today. We just thank you and we praise God for you. We know that lives were changed today, the yokes were destroyed off of the lives of people that were listening today. Again, I thank God for all of you who are still on the phone lines who came to listen, those of you in the chat room. We praise God for you and get the book. Again, I'm not promoting the book. I'm promoting a ministry that's going to make an impact in your life and is you can get it at LindaHillman.net, and it's in the meantime when waiting is key. God bless you, and thank you so much, woman of God, for being with me on today.
Thank you for having me, and I pray that God will continue to bless your ministry online and in your community, because I know that I listen to you and read your posts all the time, and I know that God is doing a great work with you and your husband, so I'll continue to lift you guys up in prayer. And again, thank you so much for having me. It was truly a blessing.
Amen. Thank you so much. And we receive that, and we receive those prayers, and we will continue to keep you lifted up as well, because God is not, this is just the beginning. God is not finished with you yet. There's just so much more that I know that God's going to do with this ministry. He brought you by here for a reason today. He brought you by here for a reason, and we probably will never know the lives that are being changed as a result of the archives, the people that will come back even, and the people that were here today to listen to the archives of this particular broadcast. So I just thank God for you. Pastor Emily, God bless you, honey. I will see you a little later. And for those of you who are, sir, honey, did you have anything? Amen. I believe he's gone. He must be muted. And so God bless you to all of you. Listen, visit us at New Creation Christian Ministries. If you're in the New Jersey area, we're at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. God is doing some awesome things over at that ministry. Meet us here on blogtalkradio.com/power at 12 noon on Wednesday. We are right here every Wednesday with the Preach Word. Amen. So come and be a part of that. It's 1 hour of worship during your lunch hour, and we look forward to meeting you and seeing you. We're going to go off the air with gratitude. Pastor Alicia Cooper, she has a concert coming up on June the 30th. We'll be talking to her before then, but be thankful because God is doing a great thing in your life. God bless you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.